This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk with a report from the LA SailGP race. I was here for the first race of the fourth season of SailGP. Residents of San Pedro had never seen the race, but knew the place on land as the Outer Harbor, the location where Circus Vargas and SpaceX had set up their events in the past. It took the SailGP team 2 weeks to set up the SailGP Village, the technical area, media center, and adrenaline lounge, and the bleachers near the Outer Harbor of San Pedro, where everything was in place before I arrived. Russell Coutts, co-founder of SailGP, and I coincidentally arrived at the same time at the badge area and said hello. The media operations staff were gracious in allowing myself and Marie Rogers to tour the technical area. In the pre-event press conference, I asked Ben Ainslie a question.
Ben, we had talked in San Francisco about the conditions of the changes of the currents and tides and how that plays a role in strategy and predicting where the wind might be. How is the field here in the Outer Harbor of San Pedro as far as what its particular challenges are or things that you might be able to use in strategy for the race?
Yeah, another great question. I mean, quite a different venue here in LA to San Francisco. San Francisco, much stronger currents that we're dealing with, like you said, which is a bit of a moving carpet. If you think of the current as a moving carpet and the boat's being pushed along by that carpet, and the wind then changes depending on which way that carpet's running. But here, not so much current, much flatter water as well, because we're protected by the breakwater. So in terms of getting closer to the optimum performance of the boats, we'll most likely do that, achieve that better here with the flatter waters. But it's a tighter race course, much tighter race course. So it's going to require a lot more maneuvering. You'd expect to see much more dynamic maneuvering from the boats here on this tight course that you perhaps wouldn't see on other race courses. So that's really going to test the teams to the maximum on that. Lots of unexpected maneuvers, no doubt. That will be the biggest challenge, I think, on this race course. Also, there are a few buildings around. So, you know, perhaps a little bit, wind's a little bit shiftier on certain sides of the course. So I think it'll be a very dynamic race course, I think, compared with San Francisco.
In the first day of the race, the bleachers were filled with locals. They cheered and sighed at the same time, creating a feeling of spectator camaraderie. Seeing it live is so much more interesting and exciting. Your eyes capture what interests you in the moment that it happens. A foil lifting out of the water on a tight turn. The crew leaping across the beam of the boat to get to the other side and pick up their controls. How close the boats are to each other when one boat covers another in a tight tack. Congratulations to SailGP LA winners in order from first to last. Spain, first. Rockwell, Denmark, second. Australia, third. Canada, fourth. United States, fifth. Emirates, Great Britain, 6th. New Zealand, 7th. France, 8th. Switzerland, 9th. Germany, 10th. These are true athletes and amazing sailors, and the competition is stiff. Congratulations to all SailGP teams for a great start to Season 4. This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk.
Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesday at 9:40, and that is when we check in with SailSportsTalk.com's Karen Lyle, who co-hosts this segment with me. Karen, how are you?
Hey, I'm just doing great. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Let's bring in our guest, Marie Rogers, who we're going to have to start paying. She's been on our show so many times, and we're certainly glad to have her. She co-founded an offshore racing outreach nonprofit, and we interviewed her last month, and now we want to know how she did in the TransPAC race. Marie, welcome to the show. So, how did you do in the TransPAC race?
Hi. Well, we made it. We made it there this whole year and a half or a year and three quarters of work really paid off. We did well, you know. It's a handicap race. Each boat is rated based on its prediction to finish when sailed whale. And we corrected on a lot of really, really famous big-time programs, so I'm really excited. And the crew had a great time. It was very, very hard. I could go on and on, but I'm sure you have specific questions for me.
Marie, you know, you were one of the only female skippers, I believe, on this TransPAC race. And during that race, what were your thoughts on as you were going over the systems of the boat?
Oh, during the race, going over the systems? Yeah, well, my job as skipper, and I was the only female this year, which was kind of astounding, surprising even to me. Yeah, well, I was there for all the refit of that boat. You know, we bought it up in the Bay Area and brought it down to L.A. and finished it. But we basically went over every system in the boat. So I had seen it, had my hands on all these different parts. And yes, I wanted us to do well in the race, but I wanted everything to hold together. Some of this, the boat has done many, many Transpacs and Pacific Cups and Mexico races, you know, really long offshore races. But it's the first time for this refit, and so some of the parts were new. Some of the parts that can really go bad, you know, after a 1,000 miles or more. This is a 2,225-mile race. So, yeah, that was my main concern, and when people wanted to race the boat really hard, I said, hey, guys, how about if we just get the boat there? And then maybe for our next attempt, we could really push it harder.
How much do you take into account just the, I mean, I know this sounds like a trite question, but just the safety of the absolute, you know, race? Do you just sort of take it as a given that you're going to be fine? Or how much do you have to pay attention to all the other things that can, what am I trying to say? All the other things that can affect the boat during the race.
Yeah, well, Rick, you're so right. I've been sailing long enough to know that just anything can go wrong at any time mm-hmm. on a boat, even if you're just sailing near shore, like up there in the bay. So basically on any boat, no matter how much money and time they have spent on a program, something's going to go wrong on the boat, and you just have to know how to fix it. So I was the person in charge of the safety inspection, which is required from the Transpac officials, and I was there to prepare all the different sections of the boat for the inspection. I was incredible, OCD about safety. I was thinking about it all the time because you never know. Just like one little vibration can lead to something else, which can lead to something else, which can lead to something else. So I spent basically the entire time troubleshooting and making sure nothing was going wrong.
And also a shout out to your husband and staff commodore of the Los Angeles Yacht Club, Bill Rogers. He was on shore. Did he serve a role in helping you with any of the any problems that came up during the race?
Oh, absolutely. Bill Rogers. We wouldn't have any of this without Bill Rogers, my husband, who's a naval architect and a mechanical engineer. So if we suspected something was off, we would call Bill, which is great. He was able to give us tons of feedback, either by email or by phone. Basically, Bill, we had 9 crew members. Bill was our 10th crew member because he was like basically on call at all times. And when things were not mechanical in nature, we would still call Bill just to let him know what was going on. And he really enjoyed that. And we did too.
What would you say would be maybe one of the more surprising things that happened to your race or just recently after all the experiences? And you're like, well, I've never seen that before.
I've never seen. I pretty much seen just about everything. I would just say in terms of goodness, I mean, this effort was unique in that we had everybody on the boat was seasoned, you know, sailors, of course. But it was the first time that I'd seen people who'd not been, like, sailing, practicing, like, a year together. We did not practice that long together. That everybody kind of got along. We fell into our watch duties and our hands-on actually sailing the boat duties like really, really well. And that's unusual to have 9 people getting along fine under a lot of pressure, sleep deprivation, not eating as you normally would on shore, and, you know, people getting seasick. There was a lot of harmony on the boat. That was surprising.
Marie, you, Marie, I just want to give you congratulations for such a successful completion of this with the first DEI crew going to Transpac, and thanks to the nonprofit and all those who provided the money to support you. It was really a pleasure to see you down at the CLGP LA race. And while we were there, you were also fielding media calls because Donald Lawson, who was recently found missing with his boat capsized off the shore of Mexico, was, you know, we were just following the story. Can you tell us what's happening with that? Just summarize, because we had Donald on our show, thanks to the invitation introduction that you gave us. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happened with Donald and what's happening now?
Oh, yeah, I follow the news every day looking for news for Donald. But bottom line, right now, he is missing. He was attempting to sail his trimaran, the Defiant, previously known as Mighty Merlot. It's an Orca 60 trimaran, racing trimaran. His attempt was to sail it south of out of Acapulco to Panama, go through the canal, then and sail the boat to the East Coast to Baltimore. But at some point after Acapulco, I forget how many days out, I think it was like around a week, his wife, Tori, lost contact with him, and the Mexican Navy went to look for him and found the boat had capsized. And there's no sign of Donald. The latest that we know is that the life raft, which was reported to be on the boat, is no longer on the boat. So we're hoping Donald is on the life raft. And that's basically all we know. It's kind of a mystery, and it's tragic. And we're keeping him in our prayers.
Yeah, that's really bad. Let's, on a lighter note, in the movie Jaws, the character Hooper, played by Richard Dreyfuss, when Quint, Robert Shaw's character, was asking him, what do you know about sailing? He said that he had been on 3 Transpacs. That's kind of like making him legit, right?
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's a big deal, that Transpac. I mean, you see all the photos of the crews coming in and they're drinking, you know, Mai Tais out of pineapples and whatnot. But, man, it is an arduous trip, and you can't really predict what's going to happen. It's a lot of miles between, you know, LA and Honolulu, and just about anything. I mean, there are telephone poles out there, there are whales you can run into, I mean, sadly, but there's a lot, and there can be something in your boat that you'd never known was a problem. All of a sudden it shows up, you know, 2,000 miles offshore. I mean, anything's possible.
What happened on this particular Transpac with your competitors? I know you can't always see each other. Do you know where other people are at a given time? Do you have any communication that goes out to all of the racers?
Sure. Well, there's a race tracker that families can download on their phones, you know, from the Transpac headquarters. There's a little app, and there are like little icons that represent the boat. You can follow that. We also have AIS, which is the automated information system, that you can pick up. If the boat has it on, you know the boat's location. Any watercraft, like a container ship or, you know, a pleasure craft or anything. And then you can occasionally visually see boats around you. Like at night, you can pick up their running lights and whatnot, and so you can go back to the computer and kind of figure out, with all the systems that I just said, and figure out who that is and if they're passing or not. But it's really kind of fun. It's a slot car race for adults, and you know, potentially very dangerous, but very exciting and exhilarating. And I'm just honored that I had a backer who believed enough in me. That's Bill McClure. He's on the Transpac board, who wanted to see this diverse team. So, it's a lot, and I still haven't completely processed the whole thing, but I am definitely living in the glow of having completed that race again.
Last question for you. Tell us a little bit more about your nonprofit I mentioned, please.
Yeah, Offshore Racing Outreach. This is a new foundation we put together just a little under 2 years ago. And the mission is to expose as many unrepresented communities into offshore sailing. So there are a lot of people sort of pick up sailing, you know, around the bay and sailing schools or whatnot. But unless you're well connected, it's hard to get on the big boats that do the big races. And so we wanted to give people who've never had the opportunity, who are good sailors, to do that. And we give them every opportunity. Unlike other boats, you can actually drive. You can actually do something other than trim. You can actually grind. And you can do system troubleshooting, things that you normally don't get to do on owner's boats, you get to do on our boat.
That's Marie Rogers. Offshore Racing Outreach is a 501c3. Marie, thank you for your tales and your insights. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Go get trouble. That's our boat.
All
thank
right.
you, Marie.
And Karen, good trouble with you once again. Thanks for coming by.
It's always good to be talking to you.